Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey Nathan, we got a lot to talk about in today's episode of TFL Talk.
Things are changing. We're actually going back to press events like in mass, and so we've hit a bunch of them and we have news.
Yeah. Before we get to the news, let's talk about what this podcast is all about. So I just came back from Montana, where I got to drive the brand new Nissan Pathfinder, and I know that's near and dear to your heart.
It is. I actually have owned two different Pathfinders. I currently have one, which is technically the third generation. And you did a video with a third generation one, but that one was really built up. Mine is fairly stock, but still, I'm a big Pathfinder fan pre-CVT era.
And you came back from California. What'd you drive?
The 2022 Volkswagen Taos, like Taos, New Mexico.
You know, Volkswagen has these goofy names for cars, right? The Tiguan, the Touareg, which no one can spell, let alone pronounce. Is it Touareg? Is it Touareg?
Touareg, and I finally figured out how to spell it because I got it wrong so many times. But yeah, the Taos is a little bit easier, kind of like Golf. You know, it's a very simple thing, two syllables as opposed to 11. So we will talk about that, but there is an embargo, so I can't talk about certain things like price and, you know, fuel mileage, stuff like that, and
yeah,
driving impressions.
And you'd think that they'd have a thing for, like, T words, right? Tiguan, Taos, yeah. Touareg, but no, Atlas, so go figure.
Yeah, Atlas Cross and all that. Volkswagen's, they're in an interesting place, so we'll get to that in a minute, though.
So, dude, I also came back from California where I had literally the worst one-day trip of my life. I spent basically an hour and a half about filming the new Ioniq 5, which is Hyundai's new electric car.
Yeah, all electric.
Literally, Nathan, took me all day, the whole day, for an hour and a half. You know why?
Because your flight was delayed?
Because I had to go on three different planes to get to John Wayne Airport from Denver to
Orange County.
Yeah. So my first flight that they United put me on, right? Mm-hmm. You hate this when you get on the plane, you settle in, and the first thing you hear is a captain. That's always trouble, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, guys, I got to tell you, I feel bad, but the communication equipment on this plane isn't functioning properly, so we got to get you another flight. I'm like, ooh, that's going to be bad. Because, you know, it's always like an hour to unload and load an airplane. So, but luckily, I look at my app, and they're like, there's another plane waiting. It's just at the other side of the airport. So I was like, wahoo. So, you know, sprint to the other side thinking maybe I could make this because I only had a two-hour window. So I had to get there
right
in time for my, you know, window to film the new Ioniq. So I get there, and guess what?
Plane was canceled.
That plane had hydraulic issues. So we had to wait for a third plane to come in. And so I finally got, you know, to California, like right when my time slot was happening, which is between 2 and 4. Mm-hmm. And it was literally 11 minutes away to the studio. But the only Lyft that was anywhere near me was one of those like Uber XL double triple black ones. So mm-hmm. I paid $80 to go 11 minutes.
Oh, for crying out.
Otherwise, I would have had to. And you know what I hate? Dude, I hate when like the Uber app or the Lyft app tells you it's like 8 minutes away and 30 minutes later, it's still 2 minutes away. Guys, you got to knock it off with that crap. That is the most, you know, after a harrowing trip like mine, trying to get to a meeting, well, you know, a video shoot, and then to have the timer basically go backwards is just not working.
That can be driver error. You know, I recently used the hell out of Uber when I was on my little vacation, and it was absolutely dead on accurate every single time. So it's sometimes it works right, and sometimes it's crap. And it's always crap when you really need it.
On the way back to the airport, you know, the driver that was 13 minutes away ended up being 33 minutes away.
Yeah.
I timed it. 13 minutes.
And this was a one-day in and out for you.
One day in and out. And then, of course, I get to the airport, and I'm like, finally, I'm super stressed because I only, you know, it takes a long time to film a car and to put your thoughts together because you don't know nothing about it, basically.
Yeah, right? this is a blind thing, basically. Right.
You show up, there it is, and they give you a walk around, and you got to go and, you know, do a video. And so I was like, oh, at least I'll get to use, you know, the club because I pay a lot of money to use the United Club. Guess what?
That was broken.
That was closed. Yeah, broken. Okay. Yeah, of course. And then I'm flying back on Southwest, and my wife's a big Southwest fan. Then she's like, they're never late. Guess what?
They're late.
They're delayed. Yeah. So I left here at, like, I don't know, I want to say like at 9 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I got home at 1:30 at night, and I spent exactly like an hour and a half in the studio.
So that was a similar experience that I had with the Volkswagen Taos. When I went out there with one of our camera guys, I think you went solo, didn't you?
Yeah, I went by myself.
Yeah, see, that's even harder. So I went out, and when we went to California, we went basically the same area, to Calamigos. By the way, that's where I got married.
Yeah, it's beautiful. What a beautiful part of California.
Everything was closed. The roads were closed because they had a fire happening right there, and it kicked back on. So in other words, Mulholland, which we use a lot for shooting, closed, at least where we were, and Topanga Canyon, which is I'm really familiar with because it's the road that I used to live off of, and I know it really well, closed. So it's like, and we had a small window of about an hour and a half to film the vehicle in motion.
Which is even harder because now you're driving around.
Because we wanted to drive it around. I did know about the vehicle in advance. That's the big thing. And on top of that, Volkswagen worked really hard to make sure that they, you know, got us in and got us out. Here's the funny part. They gave us a loaner vehicle from the airport. It was your loaner vehicle, the very same Atlas that you drove in the video. Yeah, it's exactly the same one.
Well, to be fair, I didn't know about it. I mean, they did do a Zoom presentation, but I'm so tired of Zoom presentations that I think we all are. I got to say, I kind of like zoomed out of it.
Well, speaking of Zooming and video, why don't we go into the news,
talk about that,
and then we'll talk about exactly what these cars are. Remember, guys, all three of these vehicles have embargoes, so we can only talk about certain things.
All right, I think the biggest news of the week, at least in my mind, is when cars go RIP, rest in peace, and two actually have gone the way of the dodo, the Mazda 6.
Which I'm really disturbed about. It's one of the most beautiful cars in its class.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I think it's just gorgeous.
It is. I'm looking at a picture of it. Yeah. I'm over just at TFL elegant. Car just reading the news, basically, that you and Zach were so kind to put up there. And, Nathan, in America, the CX-3 is gone as well.
Yeah, that's not a big surprise. They just weren't selling them. You know, the CX-3 is a lot. People think it's based on the Mazda 3. It's not. It's actually based on the Mazda 2. It's very small. And with that leaving, that means that the smallest vehicle in the class will be something around the lines of, you know, the Jeep Renegade or something like that. Those will be, you know, they will no longer have that vehicle as competition. The Mazda CX-30 takes up the slack of the CX-3.
I don't know. What are they going to replace the Mazda 6 with?
Well,
crossover.
No. So the rumor is, they haven't confirmed it, that a rear drive sedan with a straight six is coming.
Wow, that'd be great.
I know. If this is even remotely true, I might sell my soul if they put a manual transmission in it to buy one. But they won't. That's not going to happen.
So let's have some Tesla news. Apparently, Mr. Musk keeps waking up every morning and deciding that demand is too high for his vehicles because he just increased the price on both the Model Y and the Model 3 by $500.
Mm-hmm. And by doing that, he's changed his profit projection and everything else in his investments. So then he'll say, go buy some more Bitcoin, and then I don't think you should buy it, Bitcoin, because we're not going to use it, and then go buy it. And it depends. We really need
horrible,
to take the phone.
Horrible for the environment.
We got to take the phone away from him.
Horrible. But cyber currency is horrible for the environment. It uses more energy than the entire state of New York.
Yeah, you guys would be surprised what it does. And I really do think one of his assistants needs to take his phone away from
him. And you know, and actually speaking of Tesla, he stopped accepting Bitcoin. And
he did.
Yeah, because he got you know, Bill Maher. Got on his case on Real Time because he basically said that, you know, you founded this company to help save the Earth from, you know, global warming, and now you're using this currency, which is probably the worst thing that you can do for global warming because it uses so much energy.
Yeah, it physically uses energy for storage. It's just ridiculous. So anyway, the good news about that is that Ford has recently introduced a challenger to Tesla, and that would be the Ford Lightning. We did some videos on it, actually several, including one that just dropped recently on the Lightning Pro.
Yeah, tell me about that. That's like a $39,000 like work
that's
truck.
That's the starting price, basically 40 grand.
I'm over here at TFL Truck. I'm actually looking at it.
Yeah, it's exactly the same physically, or almost exactly the same as the regular Lightning, but what you get is a very different type of internal telematic system that actually helps people in terms of contracting and doing basic, having a fleet. I've worked with fleets before, and I can tell you keeping track of vehicles is difficult. So this vehicle, bottom line, if everything works out, you get the one with the smaller battery, which is the one that's basically 39 and change. You get a 230-mile range, and then if you up it $10,000 more, then you can get the 300-mile range. I know what you're saying. You're about to say, Roman, that's a lot of dough for a truck. You're right, especially for just that much mileage. But you also get more charging capability. That vehicle will be able to charge a larger site for a longer period of time. It has a larger sealed battery. Both vehicles come standard with four-wheel drive and four-wheel independent suspension. So it's pretty interesting. I'm really interested in the base model. And I will be asking viewers to beg Roman to let us buy one, the base model. I don't want the top one, the base, when it comes out, because that will be a hell of a vehicle to test on the Ike Gauntlet and everything else. I think it's a logical request.
So I was up in the mountains this weekend, up at Silverthorne. I went to my favorite, actually Tommy and my lovely wife are rafting the Colorado River this week.
So, that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm running solo. Anyway, we stopped there before we went off, before they went off to Moab to put in the water, put the boat in the water. So we went to our favorite, I shouldn't say this because it's such a great place, but I'll let you know, the Sunshine Cafe. It's wonderful.
I love that place.
Sunshine Cafe, you've been there.
Oh, yeah. God, 100 times.
Guess what was parked right in front of it?
A Lightning?
Exactly.
No kidding.
Right, yeah, right there. I did a little TikTok.
We know they test in the area.
I mean, I did a little TikTok video. I could tell immediately because it didn't have any exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the crazy thing. There was a sticker on it that said, The Rock. I thought like Chevy was,
I lost my thing. Yeah.
The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah, that's what the sticker said on it. It was
on the windshield? Or
on the back windshield, yeah.
Did it say like is an official sticker or did someone just slap it on there?
It's a test vehicle. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, The Rock, huh?
Yeah, it's weird, yeah. That's what it said.
They like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Or maybe they're going to be like,
Oh, he works with Ford.
Does he?
Maybe he was at the Sunshine Cafe. While you were there.
I didn't look for The Rock.
And maybe he was flexing in the back while sucking down 50 eggs or whatever, because the dude, works out like crazy. So he has like high-calorie diet. And then he was going to take that vehicle, because he's doing commercials for Ford, over to the Rapids, and hang out with Toby and your wife as they go down the highway. I don't know, dude. You're hanging solo, so I'm going to try to stress you out.
Anyway, it was cool. It was cool to see you up close in person. We've got a new TikTok account, TFL Studios. At TFL Studios, if you want to check it out, I kind of walked around it. Tommy was like, "You can't do that." I'm like, "Why not? It's parked in the parking lot. Why can't I do it?"
If it's out in public, we're permitted to do that. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
If it's like in a place that's fenced off or whatever, and we jump over the fence and take pictures, bad idea.
Anyway, that's not coming till about this time next year. So let's get to the stuff that is coming.
Yes. So let's start coming soon.
Yeah, let's start with the Pathfinder, which I drove. Once again, there's an embargo on the driving impressions, but that's okay. That's not about driving. You know, what does it drive like? You can guess what it drives like, right? So this is the fifth generation.
Yeah.
Right? I believe it started, was it body on frame, unibody, body on frame, unibody, and unibody again. But, Nathan, you know the big news, right? They got rid of the CVT.
Yes, thank goodness. They have a 9-speed automatic transmission now. And which is I can't tell you, and Roma can't tell you exactly how that thing feels and functions, but I can tell you that a lot of people wanted this change.
Yeah. I was so happy to see him get rid of the CVT just because, a CVT, there's just so many things that...
Well, reliability issues it's been haunting Nissan for years with the JATCO system.
Yeah, and it is good for fuel economy, but that's about it.
Yeah, but they're showing that 8- and 9-speed transmissions are nearly as efficient, if not more so, and in many cases, people prefer them. So, that's kind of it, but...
So guess what? I went glamping.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
Well, we stayed in these massive tents. Like, they were tents, but they were very luxurious. So, like, the bathroom wasn't a tent, right? That had a heated floor and a full shower and a regular bathroom. But then the front of it was a giant tent, which would have been great, except that my heater, I was there two nights, my heater crapped out both nights. And it's cold in Montana still.
Yeah, doesn't it have, like, a wood stove?
or something? No, no wood stove. Just these two like heater slash air conditioners, these portable units. Mm-hmm. And mine had the air code E5, so air 5 both nights. So I was, and also we were right. I mean, this place is called Paws Up. It's just they have like a central. Get this, they have like a central building, right? Mm-hmm. With like I want to say maybe 7 or 6 of these tents around it, mm-hmm. and I think you can. Rent one of these tents or borrow them or whatever the hell you do, right? Overnight for, I think it's $1,600 a night. That's how much.
Wow.
They'll sleep more. They sleep like 5.
Okay.
I was by myself. I think that's what it is. And get this, you get a butler.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, she made me iced tea. So thank you, Hannah. I appreciate it. That was the only thing I could think of to use. What am I going to use a butler for?
Oh, I have ideas, but
what would you do with the butler?
Are you kidding me?
What?
Okay, this bed does not feel quite soft enough. I want you to fluff the pillows after you bring me a gin and tonic. And I'm thinking about having a cigar outside. Please, you know, take care of that area. Oh, Roman, I could go all day.
Me, I was just like, hey, my heater doesn't work, and could you give me some iced tea?
Yeah, you're.
And, oh, I did use a butler for one thing. I wanted a Benedict for breakfast, and she had to tell our personal chef that, you know, to have the fixings for, you know, hollandaise sauce. So hollandaise sauce, iced tea, and I told her, but that was it. I don't know what else to do with the butler. Okay. I felt awkward.
Well, next time you need to call me, and I will give you lots of suggestions. You got to, you know, they like to work.
So it was beautiful. The other, I guess, cool thing, right? So you have this tent, and it's mm-hmm. on this roaring river. I forget what it was called, the Red Bull or Bull. I don't know. Nissan offered us the ability to go fly fishing or skeet shooting.
Which one did you do?
Neither, because
I had a film,
exactly, yeah. Right?
One of the things that happens to a lot of these trips, and I think we're all victims of it, TFL, is we actually work. Look, I'm not bashing anybody else, but there's an awful lot of other types of journalists out there who will do these things, and that's great.
Someone will go back and work.
So, but in order to get a good video footage of vehicles, usually during playtime, we have to go out there, leave the camera, move it, shift it around, put it inside, put it outside, drive the vehicle past the, a lot of the stuff that you guys see that people take for granted, we call B-roll, that has to be filmed somehow, and we have to do it on our own. So, yeah, that's usually during playtime.
So they had a 5,700-pound Airstream.
Ooh.
That you could tow.
5,700
Yeah, because configured correctly, the new Pathfinder will tow up to 6,000.
6,000?
Yeah, it's got, I think, I want to say 280 horsepower and pound-feet of torque from the 3.5-liter V6 that's under the hood. So it'll tow 1,000 more than the competition. It competes with cars, obviously, like the Pilot, right? The Atlas that you just drove.
Yeah,
it's a big...
Big three-row SUV.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a suburban big. Yeah, yeah. But it's full size.
Under that.
Yeah.
This would also compete against like the Durango in terms of size,
right, exactly,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. Yeah, the modern platform that they put together, this vehicle is actually really important for Nissan because it is one of their top sellers. It still is. Rogue, I believe it goes Rogue.
It goes Kicks, Rogue, Pathfinder, Armada.
Yeah, in terms of size, but right. in terms of sales... Rogue is number one by far, and I think Pathfinder is second.
Yeah, I think it's one of their more important vehicles. Anyway, so it does tow 6,000, so I had to do a towing video. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I had the stupid like little action cam, and it decided to focus on the... You put it up in front of the windshield, right, so you can like talk into it. And it decided to focus on the rearview mirror instead of me, so all the footage... I didn't get to go ski shooting, I didn't get to go fly fishing, and all the footage came out of focus.
Oh, no.
So we have that video, but probably can't use it.
One of the reasons why we like to bring camera people, our videographers, to these trips is specifically so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I had Tommy, but he couldn't make it.
He couldn't make it, yeah.
So normally he'd be there. But the only good news, Nathan, you're a fly fisherman, right?
I'm a fisherman. Fly fishing is, I've done a few times. It's too expensive for me to do.
So I don't know much about it. I've done it once in my life, but the river was running really fast and really brown. And I don't think you're going to catch anything brown water, right?
No, you really don't want a rushing river. I mean, there's some guys out there who swear by having swift currents.
But they can't see the fly on top of the water if it's
all
brown.
No, they can't see it. I mean, you're better to have a drag line and just pray that it doesn't caught on a rock. But, you know, we're not fishing experts here at TFL.
So I felt kind of good about the fact that, you know, I wouldn't have gotten any fish anyway.
Yeah, but you could have shot stuff, and I know that you're going to get your aggression out that way. So maybe next time you do the skeet shooting, you know. It might have helped. Well, when does this information, we're going to get this next week?
No, it's already, I put the video out there if you want to see it. It's up on TFL Car and TFL Off-Road. So excellent. One of the cool things they got, I can't talk about driving impressions, but like I say, you can figure out how it drives. One of the things they did is they did an off-road course, and they did an off-roady one like everybody's doing right now. Oh, that's the other vehicle that competes with the Telluride, of course, and the Palisade.
Yeah, the Telluride right now is sort of leading the class in terms
it
of
is. I think it
what we all think of a new vehicle like that, because it is fairly capable off-road, and it's a good driving vehicle on-road, and so is the Palisade. So the Nissan has to go up against those guys. And
so the interior, much better than the old one.
Mm-hmm.
The bar wasn't all that high to begin with, but this one, you know, it's...
Are you allowed to talk about too much of the interior?
Yeah, I guess just driving impressions and pricing.
Right, okay. So upgraded interior, changed exterior completely.
Yeah, and the exterior is much more... I like it, actually. I think it's very sexy. You know that first-generation Pathfinder that had that kind of... A little like on the ABC pillar, behind the C pillar, it had that little kink.
Yeah.
That little triangle.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, you know, it's back, so they put it in there.
Okay.
Which is cool. And they made it much more masculine. I have this firm belief that if you take a vehicle and you make it more masculine, it will sell better than if you take a vehicle and make it more feminine. There's something about like guys like masculine cars and women like masculine cars. And when you make it more feminine, like the... Remember when the Samurai turned into the... What was it?
The X90?
Yeah, that was horrible.
Okay,
horrible.
That was the bad decision all through and through. But that's it's a very different vehicle.
But when you kind of make it more rugged, more, you know, square-jawed.
Well, if you're buying a vehicle and you're trying to say, hey, I'm the type of person who likes to go outdoorsy, do you want to go in something that looks like it's serious about it? Or do you want to go in something that looks like a station wagon? Obviously, you want to go in something that looks serious about going off, you know, into the wild.
So we did get to take it off-road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ground clearance is, I'd say, just barely enough to go off-roading. It's 7 inches.
Okay, that's better than some.
But
I'm looking at the front
end. Keep in mind, like, every Subaru is 8.7, which is almost 2 inches taller. And the new Wilderness Subaru, right?
Yeah,
I think it's 9.1. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's got a lot of leg on it.
Yeah.
Now, the front end of this looks like it's a little bit on the low side, but I'm also seeing what looks like a skid plate. Is that a real skid plate up front?
It's more cosmetic.
It's cosmetic.
You can see it there over your shoulder. The other thing that they did was they took one and they put it by the river with like meteor tires, you know, kind of Wranglers.
They were
off-road, and then they put the basket on the roof and they put some lights on the basket. And they had a little camp set up, like a little stage camping area.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool. It was in this like army green, really nice.
I love green vehicles.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, especially
and
with the, like a brown or cappuccino interior.
Yeah, like something dark that complements it. Yeah, I agree 100%. It just has the right look. I'm very excited to drive this vehicle. I want to take it to the mountains. We're going to definitely do some stuff with it when we eventually get one of these.
Yeah, they said they're putting, once the program's over, once they get all the journalists coming through, they're going to put it in the press release. So we should have one here pretty soon.
So maybe by sometime this summer.
Oh, earlier than that. I think in the next month.
Oh, that'd be great.
But you can see the C pillar. You can see the kink in it.
Yeah, I see that.
If you're watching this on a video, you'll see it. If you're listening to it on the podcast, then go to TFL Car and take a look for it.
Yeah, and remember, we do have a first generation Pathfinder in our little
fleet. Yeah, we bought one.
Yeah, cool. That little guy. It's the same color as mine, actually. And I'm so happy we have it.
It's so tiny, Nathan.
It's so small. When you look at it next to just anything, it's crazy.
I can't wait to put up against the current one. It'll be at least half the size. It'll look like a mini next to, a Suburban, which is
what
crazy.
What we need to do is we need to buy a second generation, right?
Right.
And so that way we'll have a first, second, and then mine, if you include it, will be a third generation. I got to say, mine is actually really good off-road.
Yours
really,
is like the right size.
Yeah, it's proven to be absolutely reliable. Even after my daughter tried to total the transmission, it's been really, really solid. And it's four-wheel independent suspension, but it still has a proper four-wheel drive setup with the transfer case and everything else. Love it.
So you know how like every manufacturer always like touts on one thing, it's kind of the headline.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think that Nissan did with the Pathfinder that is unique according to Nissan to them?
Stay hungry.
No, they're not hungry. No, I was hungry all the time. I'm always hungry. That's a different thing.
They'd probably say something like, be raw. No, I got a better one. They're going to say, be bold.
No. So the unique feature that the vehicle brings.
Oh, I thought you meant like your
talent. No, not a marketing campaign. A feature. What do you think
feature.
Is a unique feature that this brings that like the Palisade doesn't have or the Pilot doesn't have?
Knowing Nissan, it's probably some sort of special 360 view thing that's...
No. You know what it is? It's like a one-push with child seat in place opening to the third row.
Oh, well, yeah, they have that on a van.
It folds and kind of tilts at the same time.
Right, but you can still keep the child seat in place, so you don't have to unbuckle it and remove
it. There's a little button, and it goes up and then flops forward.
Flops forward and gives you access to the back rear seat.
Yeah, and I was curious, because when it flops forward, if you have a front-facing child seat, right, whose face is going to flop into the first row?
Well, that's half the fun.
But they figured it out. They said once there's a child in the seat, it won't flop forward. It won't go blip.
So it's intelligent.
Right. The weight of it keeps it from doing that.
I want to say intelligent.
So if there's no child, with one push, you can get in the rear seat, which, I'm out of that part of my life. But I remember when I was in that part of my life, that would have been a huge thing.
Yeah. I do remember having various vehicles where I had to unbuckle and rebuckle and sometimes it really got stressful. So this is a good thing. Nissan actually pioneered that. They had a different system going all the way back to their first generation QX60 or Q60, where it did tilt and slide forward, and you could leave the child seat there. But I don't think it was as sensitive as this new one that you're talking about.
So that was cool that they had that. And you can also get it in captain seats in the second row,
which
is really nice. And then the other thing, in the captain's row, there's like a little armrest/cubby plastic divider that is also removable. So if you don't want that there, if you want to use that as a little thoroughfare to get to the third row, you can actually really easily remove it and throw it in the back.
That's good. That sounds like it's real handy. Well, they're going to think of these details because these vehicles are selling. They are super hot now.
Nissan does a lot of thoughtful things like that, right?
Yeah.
They do that. I think they were the first ones, if I remember right, to pioneer the thing where when you're filling up the tires, it beeps when you get to the right tire pressure.
Yeah, and they brought in the zero gravity seats, which, by the way, other people are starting to use.
Yeah, I'm still not sure if that's marketing or real.
I got to tell you, I've been very comfortable in a lot of Nissan products with my big, large American ass.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that, and that's not me. They didn't pay me to say that.
Look, for a long time, Nissan was kind of, working its way down the automotive food chain to the bottom. Let's face it, right?
Yeah, they were having real trouble.
And the Koreans were kind of coming up. So it used to be that Nissan was kind of the reliable Japanese value brand, right? So if you wanted
just under Toyota.
Yeah, so if you wanted something that was reliable and it was Japanese or, Japanese engineered, because a lot of them are built here, Smyrna.
Yeah.
Right?
They built a ton of them.
And actually,
this one will be too, right?
Smyrna, yeah. So, and then, I think Carlos Ghosn got at cost cutting and the brand just went, they stopped investing in engineering in their future and there was nothing to look forward to for a long time.
They focused on inferior products and just tried to find a way to put lipstick on them, and that was a real shame because
they were kind of going down that fleet sales route, right? Where you saw a lot of vehicles to rent-a-car places or the heavily let's face it, American car companies have pioneered that, right?
Yeah,
building a lot of cars and discounting them or selling them to fleets. Like Honda does not sell any vehicles. You will not.
That's one of the benefits of a Honda. They don't do fleet sales. And they're very proud of that. But the bottom line is that Nissan kind of hit bottom. They had to change around a lot of their staff. They had to change around the way they looked at things. And now they have a new direction. I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah, there's a lot of
That 400Z or whatever we're calling it is coming.
There's a whole new, the new Frontier is coming.
Yes.
They're going to have a completely refreshed. They're going to have probably the youngest lineup. What I mean by youngest is the newest vehicles as an entire lineup in the entire automotive fleet in the next 2 years.
And if they're smart, they keep going down the route of replacing the CVTs, which have given them a bad reputation with these automatic transmissions, I think it'll help them significantly. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think people have been screaming long and hard about hating the CVTs, yet for some reason the decision makers in Japan
because they invested heavily in it and they own part of it and all that. But
anyway, so a lot of cool Nissan's coming.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of cool products, so stay tuned. Let's talk about a new product that Volkswagen's rolling out.
Yes,
and that is a competitor to the CHR, right?
To the HRV. Speaking of Honda, and also
to the CHR. The little tiny guy.
Yeah. CHR. The CHR is the Toyota.
Yeah, HRV.
Sorry, the other way around. HRV is Toyota, and the CHR is Honda.
Honda, yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Anyway.
That's what I mean.
Subcompact crossover. And there's other ones out there, like the Jeep Renegade.
If they call it the Mighty Might, you immediately know what it was.
Yeah, well, the Mighty Might is actually a Jeep.
I know, but I'm just...
All right. So anyway, what we're talking about is the Volkswagen Taos, which is a 2022. It is coming out really soon. And it's interesting, actually.
So it slots in under the... So it goes Taos, Tiguan, Atlas.
It's their entry-level subcompact vehicle.
Yep.
I cannot talk about price or performance or gas mileage or driving impressions, but I can tell you that it is staging itself to be directly competitive with Honda and with the Koreans who have small cars to compete against them. Seltos, which, or and also the Chevy Trailblazer
is
sort of in that realm as well.
Kona,
Kona to a lesser extent, yeah, it's about the same size.
And I saw pictures of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been unveiled. It's it looks like a baby Tiguan.
It does, but I can say this. I can't talk about too much of it, but it's about 19 inches shorter than the Tiguan. It's a lot smaller.
Wow, that is small.
And yet, they've managed to make it very competitive in terms of passenger space and cargo space. And they have three trim levels. Okay. So, yeah, the S-E-S-E-L. And other stuff on top of that. You can get things like, you know, panoramic sunroof, different types of configurations inside the vehicle as well. Standard digital cockpit throughout the entire lineup. It just changes in size as you move up. The vehicle itself has like two different wheel sizes, 17-inch and 19-inch. In the video that I did put together, I do have recommendations on what you should get to make the vehicle drive as good as possible, but that video won't come out until the 26th because that's when the embargo drops.
That's 2 days from now. That's not too far.
Yeah, it's not too far.
Yeah.
And I, you know, once again, I'm straining at the temptation to tell you guys about how it performs and everything else, but I can say this.
And they didn't take you to Taos, huh?
No. Ironically, it was all in California.
I'm looking at pictures of it right now.
Yeah. They did some real, you know, normal. A lot of the vehicles we get in the United States from Volkswagen are sort of discount. They cut a few corners and everything else, and you know, we've been disappointed with some of the stuff we get, especially when we know that the stuff that's manufactured or built in Germany is superior. We tend to, you know, not be very happy about it, right?
I'm reading our old friend Emmy's review, Emmy Hall, from CNET, and she says that Volkswagen has a hit on its hand. Do you agree?
Can I say that?
Sure.
Because is that an impression?
It's a driving impression.
Okay.
You can say.
So, yes, I will agree with her.
Yeah.
Not only will I agree with her, but I am saying that I think they finally built something that's competitive. A lot of their vehicles aren't that competitive by comparison. I think this is truly competitive.
So,
that I can say.
One of the vehicles it competes with is a Subaru Crosstrek, which we just purchased.
Yes, the Crosstrek I think is slightly bigger. I think it's a bigger vehicle in terms of wheelbase and stuff like that. But the Crosstrek is really a little bit more, how do I put it, pedestrian in some ways. Volkswagen was really going for kind of a playful manner in this vehicle. I can't go into, you know, the driving, but I can tell you about the design. And in so doing, they have a vehicle that has a very short wheelbase by comparison. If you look at
1.5 liter turbo 4.
That's a 1.5 liter turbo 4 that puts out 158 horsepower. Now, there are two different transmissions available.
184 pound-foot of torque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a torquey little bugger. Yeah. So you can get the 8-speed automatic transmission, but that's only with the front-wheel drive model. So that's your base level entry models. But you can get the front-wheel drive all the way up to the SEL model. So the 8-speed automatic is one thing, but they also have the 7-speed dual clutch, which is standard in all of the all-wheel drive versions, S, SE, and SEL. And that is a different transmission. They're both hooked up to the same engine, but once again, if you want all-wheel drive, you have to get the 7-speed dual clutch. And that also is an additional cost, which I can't disclose, but you'll find out on the 26th. Those products alone, in terms of what you're able to get, if you look at that vehicle, it's actually very simple in terms of how you can place what you want. There aren't a lot of selections, which I think is a good thing. So it's not like you're nickeled and dimed. Each level has their own thing, and the content isn't too bad, and you guys will find out. I can't go into specifics, but I can say this, some of the colors in there are fantastic.
So, Emmy says, small but mighty. Will it go off-road?
Ooh, yeah, a little bit. I mean, the same
as... Dirt road, kind of?
We could probably get it up the easier side of Tombstone.
Okay.
Without much of a problem.
Truth, but not Dare.
Yeah, we can get it up Truth. Dare, I just don't think it has the ground clearance.
Yeah.
It's like 6.6 inches.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty tight.
It's just not enough. But the approach angle, I think, is good enough to do Truth. It has a decent all-wheel drive system because it's you know, I can say that only because it's based on others' all addresses since they've used before. And the overall setup of the vehicle really is just something that's good for all weather, as opposed to an off-roader.
Now, you know, let's talk about the Subaru Crosstrek that we just bought.
Yeah, we just bought this thing.
Yeah, so I got to give a big thank you and a shout out to basically AAA of Colorado, because they actually, Peter West over there, who has been helping, he's a car buyer, right? Mm-hmm. And they only do this in Colorado, and I don't think Oregon, right? Mm-hmm. They only do two, AAA only does this car buying in two states.
And is it similar to like Costco and some of those other ones where you can go and
it's they like they have a car buying service, right? Yeah. I think they have to have a dealer license or something. Car Source, I think it's Car Source, something. Anyway, it's AAA Colorado.
Okay.
And unbelievably, he was able to get us a base Crosstrek for like $23,500.
That's unheard of. Yeah.
It's unheard of, especially now when like I drove by the Super dealer and like I want to say 2 months ago they maybe had 25 or 30 Crosstreks sitting on the lot. Now there's like two.
Crosstreks, you know, I saw a lot of the comments on Tommy's video, yeah. Which by the way, Tommy knocked it out of the park on that video. And one of the things you have to keep in mind is why don't we have some of the other vehicles here? Why didn't we get a Forester or whatever? The Crosstrek is one of the best-selling vehicles that Subaru's built, like ever. Their sales numbers are fantastic on that car.
Subaru will not work with us somehow. It's become personal between them and us. I don't know how that is. I think we try to, you know, have a little bit of fun with it, and maybe they took it the wrong way. But nevertheless, as having one of the largest off-road audiences, living in the place where most, I think we're the second largest market.
We're actually the largest market
for Subaru. It is astounding that Subaru does not work with us. So I am always blown away by that. But, you know, you can't force people to make good decisions. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that we could test the vehicle. And so we went out and bought it, you know. And
we bought Subarus before for the same reason.
We had the Outback for a while. And, you know, people keep saying that the all-wheel drive system has gotten much better, that no longer does it cut power if you have a CVT. We could have gotten the manual, but nobody buys a manual, so why?
Yeah, there are a couple people who wanted it, and maybe at some point in time we'll be able to get our hands on one, but the reality is the majority, like 90% of the people out there, at least 90%, buy automatic transmission vehicles, so that's what we're going to test.
Yeah, exactly, you're exactly right.
But to be fair, even you know if we can get an old used Subaru, it would be a lot of fun to find a manual that we can eventually test so you guys can see the difference. But this vehicle, we're not going to just take it off-road. Well, we're going to live with it.
We had that little manual, remember? Yep. We had that DL.
Oh, well, that's the... Yeah, that thing's twice as old as Tommy.
Yeah, I'm saying we had anyway, so we bought the one that is everything you need, nothing you don't. So it does have X mode, it does
and
have
an eyesight system,
and they all come with eyesight now, which is great.
Yeah.
So they all have, and I was actually using it this weekend. I drove it, and it's a little terrifying. Unfortunately, on a straight highway, it works great.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you set the proximity distance control, you turn eyesight on, and it's just like our Tesla Model Y, where you know you hold onto the wheel and the car just drives itself.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I say hold on to the wheel, I mean you have your hands on the wheel, but the car's driving itself.
Right, it just has to verify that you're holding the wheel.
Now, if you're doing highway speeds, so let's say 75, and it comes to a turn, it will just turn itself off with little to no warning.
Oh.
So it'll just be like, oh, I give up. And then you're like, oh my God, now I got to steer the thing.
It's for long straight highways.
Yeah, first time it happened, I was like, oh, that's pretty scary. But then the second time I was ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it will not go around a turn at a high rate of speed. I don't know. I didn't play with it to see if it'll do it at like 55, but I was doing the speed limit. So I'm like, hey, I set it at speed limit. And, you know, it did it like four times. And at that point, I was just like, you know, screw it. I'll just drive it myself.
Yeah, but if you're like traveling on like I-25,
it works
really
great. Or I'm sure in stop and go traffic.
Right. But so it'll go all the way down to a stop and then
I think so. I didn't try it that far.
Okay, so we'll test that too.
We'll test that too. But the plan for it is we'll probably keep it. You know, we keep this for like 6 months to a year. So we'll keep it and then we will, I think, take it to Moab for sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
Run fins and things with it. You know, something that's relatively hard with it just the way it is. See if X mode actually works.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to, you know, because it's been around, the Crosstrek's been around a while. So then we're going to lift it, put on some Meteor tires.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, turn it into an off-road or maybe put a rooftop tent on it. See what we can do with it. The other problem is, it's not a problem. We also got the small engine. But you know what? Look, it's like the difference between slow and very slow. It's not like you're gonna. If you go for the 2.5 liter, it's not like you're going up. I think ours has 150 horsepower, and the 2.5, I think 180. So it's not a big deal, especially up at altitude.
Well, that's really what the point is. Is that because we're up here, where the density is, it's very difficult for cars to produce horsepower, especially when they're not turbocharged.
Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't about, you know, I've been on this kick recently, everything you need, nothing you don't. And this has everything you need to go off road. It's got the rubber steering wheel. It's got the plastic sea of black inside.
Yeah. It's a very standard, simple interior.
It's pretty dated in some ways, too.
Yeah. It's an old design. And
yes, they just upgraded it.
Yeah.
Like last year. Still.
It's fine. I think it's just fine.
So there are like some things that I hate about the car. The rubber steering wheel drives me crazy. You know, when we had it in our F-250, the first thing I did was I had to
change it. You had it replaced.
Right. But, you know, I think the size is almost perfect. Mm-hmm. So it's just the right size. Even sitting behind myself, I fit in the back seat, which mm-hmm. is pretty astounding.
Yeah.
I also like kind of the rugged nature of it. I think it's more than just, you know, a rugged looking car. I think it'll actually do some off-roading with 8.7 inches of ground clearance.
Yeah, excellent ground clearance.
And dude, there's a lot to be said for like not having any of the latest and greatest and newest and scariest and stupidest tech, right? I mean, you have a regular key with a button to unlock it. We know that you stick in the column to start it up. You have like, you know, automatic climate control, but with only one temperature. So you set it for the whole car, which is nice and easy to use. You know, you have a stick shift lever that you pull back and put into drive.
No buttons.
Yeah. There's not, you know, it's just, you know, no, even, it doesn't even have a Sirius XM, dude.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I won't be driving.
Anyway, I was and like a week ago, I was driving back from Moab, mm-hmm. and I saw one of these Crosstreks, right? Once you see them, they're everywhere. They're really popular, at least here.
Surprisingly popular. I've seen them everywhere.
And it was pulling this little tiny trailer. Yeah. I mean, the cutest little trailer. And I had to look it up. It's called the Meerkat.
Meerkat, huh?
It's like the size of this desk that we're sitting. Literally, it's like the size.
One of those like unfolding things where you unfold it like three different ways.
Yeah, it's like tiny. It like pops up, and maybe you could like, you know, bend over if you're me and stand up in the thing. And I think they're like 1,500 pounds, which is all that.
That probably is the max that the car can tow.
And I kind of want to get a Meerkat and do like a little, you know, like a little everything you need, nothing you don't camping setup with it.
I think the boys are going to enjoy camping in that.
In the Meerkat. they're out of San Diego. I looked them up.
Okay.
Well. So, hey, Meerkat, if you're listening, if you want a little bit of love and publicity, let me know. We'll
drive all the way down there in our little tiny Subaru to pick it up.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to do that.
I'll do that.
Will you?
Yeah, sure. Oh, okay. I love driving.
Oh, and it gets great fuel economy.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's why they're sticking to CVTs, because their fuel economy is quite good.
Like 30.
Combined. That's pretty impressive considering it's all-wheel drive almost all the time. Yeah. You know, that's impressive. You know, but the elephant in the room is really the fact that we we've done it in the past, and we'll probably do it in the future. We found that the CVTs are not great off-road, and not just in Subarus either, in a lot of other vehicles that we have taken off-road.
But they are great in like side-by-sides. Weirdest thing.
Yeah, but that's a completely different, you know, world where you can go high RPM all the time. The thing about CVTs is that they work really good. They're very few moving parts. They're very lightweight, and they tend to be very efficient. The problem is that a lot of them have to save themselves and not eat themselves when they're being strained off-road, trying to go over obstacles. So some of them will automatically or mechanically even cut power and stop themselves from rotating and creating heat and screwing things up.
So you know that section on I-70 from Georgetown up, right? It's very steep, and you're almost at like 7,000 or 8,000 feet.
Yeah.
I was wondering if the thing can actually keep up with, and it does. It does. It's okay. I was worried that it wouldn't have enough power, but you know, with me in the car, big guy, and Blazy, our dog,
it weighs actually, as much as a human.
Yeah, it actually kept up with traffic, so I like it a lot. Like I say, it's just very simple and easy to drive. And you know, it's got good, it's not as soft as I'd like. I thought it'd be a little softer. Maybe it's a short wheelbase, but I think it'll be fun. So I'm excited to actually take it off road, see how it does off road, and then, you know, do a build on it and make it into a little bit more of a rugged off roader. And it's in TFL red colors. So what more could you ask? Thank you. You know, AAA, you guys were great. I can't believe when there are no cars around, you actually got us one, you know,
At the reasonable price.
At a reasonable price, yeah, $23,500.
I'm actually really impressed with it. When I heard the price, I was really stunned. And that's another thing that Subaru does well. You can actually get a cheaper all-wheel drive vehicle if you go for the regular Impreza. But the problem with that one is that it just doesn't have the ground clearance we need to do what we want to do with it. This one comes standard with a very decent lift, and it's got the kind of the off-roady look to it. So we're actually really happy with the purchase. Hopefully.
AutoSource. AAA Colorado AutoSource car buying. So I highly recommend them. We've bought a number of cars from them. They actually get you a discount, and they were able to get me a car when nobody had them. I don't know how Peter did it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
All right.
And one final thing I want to finish with is that for those of you who feel that we're a little hard on Subaru or whatever, many of us have actually owned or do own one, and it's kind of our thing. We live in Colorado. It's a great place for that car. So keep that in mind. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's talk about the Ioniq 5.
Yeah, now you got that's the one that you had to go through all that, you know, to get basically an hour and a half for this vehicle. No fault of Kia's. Or, sorry, Hyundai's.
No, nothing. It had nothing. I mean, they were great. They were. Yeah. It was just bad luck on my part. So let's start with the fact that it is not the Ioniq. So there's an Ioniq right now that's out there. This is not it. This is a completely different ground up electric vehicle. And we just published a video to TFL Car where I said it's actually better than the Tesla Model Y. And I gave you 10 reasons why. So if you want to know why, and we own a Tesla Model Y.
Yeah.
So if you want to know why, I think Nathan, it's the first electric car in 10 years that has actually surpassed what Tesla has pioneered for the first time. You know, in the past, like the ID4, it's kind of like if Apple, kind of with Apple styling, got together with Volkswagen and built an electric car, right? That's what it feels like. And then with the Ford Mach-E, it's like if Ford built a Tesla, that's what they would build it for. But there's never anything that goes beyond Tesla in terms of its innovative features, in terms of its functionality, in terms of the way that it's bought or sold, in terms of its over-the-air updates, in terms of its distance or charging ability or range, right? Tesla is still the king on all these. But this is the first car where actually somebody has said, we're not only going to benchmark Tesla, but we're going to go better than Tesla. And the first thing that's crazy about it is when you see it on the video, it doesn't look big. It's actually longer than a Range Rover.
You're kidding.
No. It's longer and it's super wide. I mean, it is super wide.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's got this really long and wide stance.
Uh-huh.
Maybe almost too wide for some people. I wish I could put a number on it, but it's a very wide car, which just tons of interior space.
Well, if that makes sense. Electric cars, one of the benefits is the fact that you don't have to worry about an engine or a full transmission in front of you. So you have all this packaging space that you can rearrange.
Yeah, so let me give you the details just real quick, and then I'll talk about the innovative features that you can watch them in the video, but I can talk about some of them. So two models, a rear-wheel drive, which is great, not front-wheel drive.
Yes, I know, and then they packaged it the way you wanted.
Right. Why are you, why is the ID4 front-wheel drive?
That's a whole different conversation.
Or a two-motor all-wheel drive.
Right.
So the all-wheel drive two-motor gets 269 miles of range, which is less than a Tesla, I'll give you that. And the rear-motor gets 300 miles of range.
Okay.
Unofficially, not yet official.
Yeah, they get their EPA numbers and all that.
But it's coming this fall. And if you look at the thing, it's hard to describe, but the design language is kind of like triangles and pixels. So there's these pixels everywhere. There's triangles in the wheels. I mean, it's like nothing you've seen before. So it's not like, they took pick your car and stuck an electric motor in it and batteries, right? It's not like a California compliance car. It is a completely different car and completely different design language. I started to like it after a while. Initially, you're like, wow, that's really weird. And then you're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. They put a lot of thought into it.
They put a ton of thought into it. I got to watch its brother's release, and so there's a lot of vehicles that may spawn off this one.
Yeah, there's Ioniq 6, Ioniq 7, they're coming. But let's talk about this one. I don't want to talk about the thing.
Yeah, I know.
Let's just jump to the chase. The most innovative feature, which Tesla does not do, is there's this, they call it vehicle to load. It's like a little, it's probably the size of, a big camera, right? A big video camera. It's like a long tube that you stick into the power port, and then you can actually power things off of it. So you can plug in stuff into it. So I plugged in a Keurig, made coffee. You can plug in. It's got a lot of, obviously, it's 74 kilowatt hour battery.
In an emergency, you could power mostly a home.
Well, yeah. If you could plug your home in, which you can't, but if you could.
Well, actually, it depends. There's systems out there. I have one where you have an emergency backup you can plug right into a generator.
Right.
But you have to install that.
It's a whole circuit board.
Yeah.
Because I went through that process because when Honda gave us that generator, I wanted to be able to plug in the Honda generator into our house, and it would have been a very expensive process.
Right. But the thing is that in an emergency or if you're going camping or whatever, you can kind of like the Ford's generator system that they have in their new hybrid and the upcoming Lightning we talked about, is the fact that you can plug right into this vehicle and use its power to power other things. And I believe you can power up another vehicle. Am I correct?
I don't know about that.
Its brother can.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure you can.
It's cool.
It's a really cool setup, and it's something Tesla doesn't do.
74 kilowatt hour is a big ass battery.
Yeah, it's a huge
battery. Yeah. It's hard to believe like how much power are in these electric cars. So you could power a lot of things for a long time.
Yeah, and still unplug and still have 50, 100 miles, whatever you need to get back home and fire and plug it back in. I really admire the design ethic on this vehicle. I stared at it for a while. So I think it's good looking.
Yeah, so here's another kind of cool feature that no other car, as far as I know, has. You know how Ford had the new F-150 where you could lean the seat back all the way?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one not only has lean the seat back all the way, but it's got the little your leg bolster that comes up like you're in a private jet, right? Little bolster that kind of
lifts your legs up. So that way your legs are also off the ground and not folded, which really is a true sleeping position.
Yeah, exactly. So while you're charging, you can actually, get in that like lay back position, put your feet up, and just, here's the other thing. The Porsche Taycan, right, is 800 volt.
Yeah.
This is also 800 volt. Teslas are 400 volt. This is 800 volt,
which means
it will charge from 10% to 80%, I want to say, in 13 minutes. It's either 13 or 18. I kind of forget, but
less than 20.
Yeah, much quicker than, and I think it'll accept a charge up to 350, whatever. Teslas usually go up to about 250. So it actually is much more robust in terms of its charging.
Allowing more energy to enter the battery in a shorter amount of time,
essentially. Yeah. So it's only the second car that I know that has 800 volt charging.
Well, this is, really good stuff. When is this car going to hit the road?
In the fall.
When are we going to get one?
I don't know, in the fall.
Yeah. So one of the things we do is that we take electric vehicles and we like to put them on a kind of a loop that we like to do. Roman and Tommy do this one often.
Yeah, we're forming a new one, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're doing a new one. Yeah, we're going to do a much harder one. So we did the one where we go up the mountain, up to Loveland, pass and back. Now we're going to do a much tougher one. We're going to Laramie and then come back on the highway. You're going to do that, cut the corner of Colorado, where you're going through those like hilly, windy, windswept plains. So we're making it tougher. We're going to be
highway driving is the hardest thing for an electric vehicle. That and towing.
Yeah, we're going to be doing that. Actually, tomorrow Alex is going to be doing the first version of that, where he's going to take. We just got the Zero electric bike, the adventure bike.
Oh, their adventure one with those with the cool saddlebags.
Yeah, yeah. And so what we're going to do is they're going to charge it up fully, and they're going to take it on this new loop, and they're going to borrow Andre's truck and see how far it'll go on this very difficult loop. And then they're going to see how much they can charge back into it while it's going back on Andre's. Andre has the hybrid, which can actually power something.
Yeah.
So they're going to see how much power they can get back into it driving back the same way they came.
I suspect it's going to be a very interesting result. And, kudos to Alex. And it's going to be Alex and the other, and Case, right?
Yeah, Alex and Case.
There are two bike guys, they have issues. So that's why they're on bike. But the cool thing is we're doing more and more electric motorcycles now.
Yes.
And electric, little vehicles as well. So
those razors that you got us. Those little razors. Nathan got us a little razor motorcycle and two ATVs.
Yeah, and frankly, only one of them will actually hold me for even a minute and drive. But they're really for kids. But then again, our guys, both combined, they weigh like 200 pounds.
Anyway, so let's get back to the Onyx.
Yes,
please. Some other cool features. I've only gone through like half of them. Mm-hmm. A lot of the interior materials are done from recycled water bottles.
That's right, yeah.
Which is pretty cool. The rear seat also reclines way back. So if you're in the rear seat, you can also get it to, get very comfortable back there. On the left side of the dashboard, right, it's got a big screen. So it's got, on the right side of the screen, it's got kind of Hyundai's traditional, which is really good, actually. Their infotainment's really good.
Their infotainment system's outstanding.
So it's like long and thin. And in front of you, it shows you, the state of battery, speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
It's got different drive modes. So, snow, dynamic, eco, which is cool. And then to the left of that is this little pad. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And get what? It's a magnetic pad that you can use to stick things on like you would a refrigerator.
No kidding.
Like little post-it notes, yeah.
Huh.
If you want to remind yourself, remember to charge up.
That's pretty. Actually, it's thoughtful.
Yeah.
They probably have that extra space and didn't know what else to do.
And then you remember the Suburban, how it has that center arm rest console that slides back and forth?
Mm, yeah.
This one does the same thing. You can slide it all the way back or slide it all the way forward.
That's really cool. Really, it's built for five passengers, though, right?
Yes, five passengers. I think there's a bigger one at some point coming, like a three row. But this is a five. Even though this probably could get a third row back there, it's got so much room.
Yeah, it's got a ton of space. That's what I was curious about with all that extra space.
And pricing wise, you know, they haven't announced it yet. Mm-hmm. But figure it's going to be competitive with the Mach-E and the ID4.
Model Y maybe on the base model.
Yeah, or the lower end. 35 probably to like 45,000.
That's a guesstimation.
0 to 60, 5 seconds.
Wow.
For the dual motor all-wheel drive.
I like that because hearing cars that are like, okay, 2.3 seconds and it's still a family sedan means that you're cutting down your mileage and everything else because you're overpowering the car. That seems to be the new logic. So that's still a really fast time.
It's quick, but it's not, you know, it's quicker than the current ID4, which is, you know, the rear front-wheel drive one, and it's quicker than the current Mustang Mach-E until the GT comes along.
When the GT is going to be ridiculously fast.
That's going to be like the Tesla Model Y.
Yeah.
And then the biggest, I think, downside, which all of them share, is they don't have Tesla's supercharger network, which is a huge competitive advantage, right?
Right now it is. However, actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because there are combination networks that are coming out, and if you look at the map from Charge America and whatnot, you're going to see that we've almost tripled the amount of charging networks that we have available. And if you combine all those numbers with ChargePoint and all those, it's actually pretty good, and it's growing. Finally, it's really growing.
Well, to combat that, right, they just announced, this is fresh off the presses, that you will get, if you buy the Ioniq 5, you will get 2 years of free electric charging from Electrify America. So it comes with 2 years of standard charging for free. Not at home, obviously, but from Electrify America.
Well, which is pretty good. I mean, you can get a couple hundred bucks out of that, you know, in terms of a savings.
Or more,
depending on how much you drive.
Yeah.
A lot of people are concerned about the fact that, yes, Tesla really does have an excellent charge network, but Tesla's been at it for a while now.
11 years.
And they've been steadily building up their network and everything else. And yes, it's proprietary. It's only for Teslas. Even if you've heard of stories of getting, you know, a little thing to hook it up and put it in your car, you can't.
It also has a lot of cool active air. So there are these grill shutters in the front.
So everything can close and change.
Yeah, they open and close in the front. And then it doesn't have a wiper in the back. And instead it has these Range Rover did it first. It has these arrow holes in the back spoiler so that the air comes rushing down and pushes the water down so you don't need a wiper. That's what Hyundai says.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that works in the snow. That's one of the reasons I like SUVs and hatchbacks, because in snow country, you have a wiper scraping everything off and making it a lot easier to see. But we'll see. Maybe that will work.
So anyway, it's, you know, it's quite the tour de force. And also, like, you know, many current Hyundais, it can parallel park itself or pull in and out of a, you know, regular parking lot with that little fob on the key where you push it and it goes forward, you push it and it goes backwards.
So it's got a little bit more than just the regular just back and forth. And,
right. It also does the parallel parking.
Which is really good. Its brother, the EV6 from Kia, just recently TFLcar.com has put out some stories on that vehicle. And they're very related. But in terms of body style, they're not. They look very different. So you have a nice choice between the two of them in the near future, which I think is great.
I was out there with our friend Miles. Who's known us for a long time.
Miles is, in some ways,
Miles called us out like 8 years ago, and I'm not offended.
More than like 9 years ago.
Because he was right.
Oh, right? He was absolutely right.
We were chewing gum in a video.
Wearing shorts and looking like a bunch of schmucks. And the thing is that Miles just said, listen, I don't want to work with guys who look like amateurs. You guys need to get your act together serious. And that was right when our numbers were steadily increasing, way back when it was just TFL Car. And Roman and I took that to heart, and we made changes. And he noticed that. And kudos to Miles and a lot of the other PR people out there who understood this. They knew that we were improving and pushing to make our numbers better because we tried to be more professional. And so that whole thing, actually, Miles was part of that. So I'm giving him credit.
No, that's good. So I was talking to him, and if the stars align, we will get a Santa Cruz, which is, of course, the little truck.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, for a long-term review. So thank you, Hyundai, if you can make that happen.
I'm really excited about that trip because you and I saw it when it first was debuted as
Detroit,
prototype.
In 2015.
Yeah, wow. And ever since then, people have been really curious about it. I think it might actually set the bar high.
So that's coming. And, of course, officially, Ford has not yet even confirmed the Maverick. But stay tuned for that. We've got some news.
We got some stuff. That's all I can say.
Coming on that, yeah. So it's going to be a great time for, you know, these little car-based trucks.
Well, considering that gas prices are flying right now, mm-hmm. and they're not going to come down anytime soon, I think that a lot of consumers out there who are thinking about that half-ton truck could go, I can actually save $300, $400, $500,000 a year and have a vehicle that's a little greener and cleaner, and I don't need to carry as much stuff. Boom. Little truck, here you come.
So before we wrap this up, Nathan, next week, as you know, Andre and I and a lot of other journalists are going down to Texas to Plano on a Toyota program. And the scuttlebutt is that they're going to be unveiling the new Tundra. We don't know that for sure. It's all scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, we'll have, if the stars align, if Toyota is, on board, because it's their truck, we'll have reports on the new Tundra next week. And the cool thing is, dude, and I was listening actually to Tim's podcast, mm-hmm. Tim Esterdahl.
In front of ours.
Yeah.
SUV truck and
car talk. Pickup truck talk, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, Tim. Anyway, he's right. If they do actually unveil the new Tundra, they'll have the only new truck this year.
This year, yes.
Well, I mean, officially the Frontier will be new this year, but it was really unveiled last year.
Yeah.
But they'll have the only full-size new truck this year, so they'll have that playing field to themselves.
Well, it's about time because everything was pushed off, and that's partially because of COVID.
And you know, Toyota has apparently a supply of chips because they saw this coming, and so they stocked up on. Well,
can I say something real quick about chips?
Yeah, sure.
Well, going back to the Volkswagen Taos, just so you guys know, I know you're worried about getting them. Volkswagen says they've already got 8,000 of them ready to be sold. With chips already that are installed.
Oh, nice.
So they're not going to pull the chips out and run over to another vehicle and put them in. So that means that you will be able to get their first load of them if you wish. So I just want to throw that out there, guys.
Yeah, so some manufacturers are actually starting to, you know, figure out how to build vehicles. I know a lot of them are struggling right now. Ford, once again, might as well talk about this. Bronco delayed again.
Yeah.
They said they're shutting down the factory for 2 more weeks.
This whole chip thing is insane. The good news is that a lot of those extra chip factories and development and construction, that is coming along. They are starting to finally do that. And so hopefully we'll get out of this mess in 6 months.
It's going to take months before we
get... I think 6 months from here. Yeah, that's what I think at least.
Yeah,
people are saying a year. I don't think it'll take a year because they've had enough time already leading up to this point to build up for extra capacity.
Yeah, but it's not if you're selling a used car or...
Right now is the time to sell a used car. Not to buy one, but to sell one. Used car prices are going through the roof. We have stories on that.
I read up to 25% higher than this time last year.
Yeah, I would say that's about right. And even with cars with more mileage. And here's the other part. Rental car agencies are actually buying newer used cars to fill their fleet because a lot of them sold off during COVID.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there.
Flood of the market.
Yeah. The good news is we do have a lot of information on that on tflcar.com, so I do recommend you check that out.
A lot of stuff coming next week. Be sure to, come back for this. And I don't know if next week is Memorial Day, so we'll see. We'll probably record one and just publish it out.
Yeah,
we'll probably do one.
We got a lot of other news that's coming in the near future.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, thanks for listening and thanks for watching. As always, this is Roman.
And Nathan.
Saying check out, of course, TFL Car, TFL Truck, TFL Off-Road, TFL Now, or our new TikTok
TFL
channel.
TFL Bike.
Yeah, TFL Bike for all you bike fans out there. Yeah, it's exciting times. These programs are starting to happen. It's going to start getting busy, Nathan.
It's already busy.
It's already busy.
It's already busy. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Ciao.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.